This is Madhouse, a podcast on a mission to tell stories of how creators in Africa get things done. I'm your host, Gabriel Mundaka. Today's episode is produced by Box Studios in Kampala and is bound to leave you inspired. We're immensely grateful for your unwavering support as we continue our mission of bringing truly inspiring stories. It fills our hearts with gratitude to announce that Madhouse is now blessed with the invaluable support of Mayuyuka Kawunda, a gifted editor, writer of compelling copy and stories, an extraordinary music creator and playlister. Please share and leave a review on your favorite podcast application as this helps us get discovered and inspires a wider audience. If you want to do more, you can donate to us. Your donations help us tell more stories of limitless possibilities. For more details, please check the show notes. Let's dive in into another exciting episode of Madhouse. In this episode of Madhouse, Laura, Isaac, and I explore how art can make a big difference in small communities. We chat about its power to bring people together and create meaningful change in our neighborhoods. Enjoy the episode. Hi, guys. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So this is the Madhouse podcast, by the way, for those folks still listening. But yeah. So just introduce yourselves and what you do. Start ladies first.
Thank you.
Ladies first.
How, you know? Chivalry is not dead. So my name is Laura Dove, and I am the visual arts director for Tumblr Arts. I have a background in education, and now I'm working as a community engagement officer for local government. And so I have a lot of different skills, but visual arts is my passion and my drive. So yeah, I'll pass to you, Isaac.
Thank you very much. My name is Aguma Isaac, stage name Blackman. I'm the music director of Tumblr Arts.
Nice.
And at the moment, I'm working in a music studio.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice. So I guess we can start with histories. Like, tell us where Tumblr came from. Why is it called Tumblr, by the way? You know, like, just I'm very curious about things. Who knows?
So Tumblr means, you know, walking, you know. Okay. So it's Tumblr Arts, walking in an artistic way, an artistic direction.
Okay.
The name came as a result of, I remember, like, Laura was...
I was debating over, like, four different words for probably about a year.
It started with Musana, Njuba.
Because you, like, want to be like, the sky is the limit. And I was like, oh, these words are boring. Like, so many people use, like, there was Musana especially was for lots of different organizations. So then I was like, then Tumblr stuck. And I started making the logo and everything, and then it just stuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
But basically,
then we found a Tumblr there in Kampala. We found another Tumblr. We're like, damn it.
Yeah, so there was another Tumblr, and we're like, I don't think we can use the name.
Yeah.
And then we added art to kind of like be different. Yeah. But
and we found out the other one afterwards, I think. We didn't realize.
Yeah.
I think.
But I think we added the arts after like seeing that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. You had four different names for a year.
Because were you guys, it was like, a dream.
Like, started, or you were just like ideating on the idea, or you're just like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We never got down to it, basically.
Okay.
I don't know what pushed us getting around to it, because I went part-time from work for a couple of years because we were like, yeah, right, move on to other projects. Like, you know, I can get some income still coming in from work and we can focus on other things.
Yeah.
But we just dawdled. Like, we didn't focus. We didn't get down to it. COVID pushed, I think, many people.
Yeah. Mm.
I think this is also like, because she's from a completely different culture.
Yeah.
And like, then when she moves here, she can like, she said the word Tumblr, and I was like, this name is not going to work. There's no way it's going to work.
Okay, yeah.
Imagine like you going on stage and someone being like, next on stage, it's Tumblr Arts. I didn't really imagine that as like, a cool name.
Yeah.
But then like, after some time, you know, it is some name that like gets stuck in someone's mind. You hear it once, you see it once, and you're like, Tumblr, yeah. So, yeah.
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 It's worked out well. I think now it's just stuck, hasn't it? But yeah, like, yeah, it definitely came from like a few sort of needs that we felt as artists. And I think you feel like as an artist, telling someone like what your career is, what your job is, what your passion is, it's like not taken as seriously. And especially I felt as a teacher in the education world, art was seen as like something for fun, something like, you know, to relax your mind. And it is those things and it is fun, but I think it's actually essential. I think the arts are an essential part of the core of a human being. Like, I think we need arts. And I think, and when I say that this was pushed through COVID, I think it became so apparent when we were all locked in our homes and, you know, restrictions were placed and nobody knew really what was going on in the world.
Yeah.
I, for one, turned to art like way more than I ever had done in my life.
Yeah.
And I was seeing all these amazing creative things online. And like, you know, what do people do when they don't know, they can't go out their home or there's curfew or, you know, you turn inwards and you, yeah, it's just a lot of people's creativity immersed, I think, during that time period. And
sure.
Yeah, it gave us the push that we needed and the direction that we needed to take Tumblr forward, because it was just an idea for so long.
Yeah.
But then we were like, right, no, let's do it. I actually, before Tumblr was started, I just noticed in Entebbe there was a need for like some kind of extracurricular arts activity. The arts taught in school is not that creative. Sometimes it's very much technical. Copy.
It's also very technical. It's like
doing
it for like marks, shading, form.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not like express yourself.
Yeah, it's not the emotive and feeling side of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that took me a different approach in my teaching, but also, gave more of a drive for Tumblr, I think. And so I started doing like these sessions on a Saturday with Jolly Chisace. I don't know if I said her name right.
Yeah, that is Jolly Chisace, yeah.
Jolly, yeah. Who's our assistant manager. We started running sessions together to make some money to start up the organization.
Yeah.
And then once we got that, Isaac did all the bureaucratic side of things because I do not want to show my face in any government office. So he went and hustled and set us up as a CBO. So we're set up as a community-based organization.
Okay.
We are predominantly operating, we're operating all over Entebbe, but predominantly we are focused in our community efforts in sort of the Katabi areas.
Okay. So it's not like main, it's not like in the central, like central Entebbe, it's like out of Entebbe.
We do different projects around
Entebbe. I would say it is we're all over
Entebbe
area. Yeah, but mostly it's Katabi, and Katabi is kind of like it's still town area. It's still
I can't remember my geography.
Yeah,
so but the communities we've been working with us have been more centered around Katabi, and Via were a really huge help for that. They were just really good at connecting us with the communities. We tried to go through LCs. We wanted to do everything the right way.
Yeah.
And it just became really difficult. It was all about money and
things.
And we didn't have much.
We want to give you money, but we don't have a lot of it.
Like, and they didn't really
see the value of like the
LCs didn't, and
I can imagine
they were struggling really to connect us with the people that we needed to connect with in the community.
Mm.
So then we spoke to parents.
We did like
so. You guys were setting children when you started Tumblr. It was like mainly children.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Because I think the idea started from a school, and then it came to the community. Yeah, so it was like centered around children, and then eventually we kind of like involved the parents.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
So like the main sessions we were doing with kids was kind of like, we always want to have some kind of like social betterment element.
Yeah.
So a lot of the initial projects we ran were centered around environment, recycling, and what we can make, like what artworks and things we can make from recycled pieces.
Mm.
And that gained quite a lot of popularity that we even got sponsored and like funded to run another set of those projects.
Nice.
All of our like quite a few of our projects have been about environment. Like last year when we did our arts event,
okay. That
was all centered around environment, but we tried to look at it from a different angle. And it's kind of like what you were saying earlier, Gabrielle, you said something about how there's lots of other people telling like the stories of Africa.
Yeah.
So we wanted it to be about Ugandans telling their stories about the environment, because I know very much that like we come in with like, this is right, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Don't do it like this.
Yeah.
But how we look at the environment as like foreigners is not the right approach always to take in
yes.
Uganda as well. So yeah. We wanted Ugandans to tell their stories and to come up with their solutions. And we met some amazing people through doing exhibition. It was so fun, especially like Isaac was involved in a project with the British Council at the time.
Okay.
And he was doing talkie-okie.
Ah, okay.
So that inspired one of our things. It's like just talking about different topics.
Talkie-okie was, they have a round table and a mic that like goes around.
Okay.
So the direction of like the conversation is like we have started now.
Mm.
So
there's, but with like 10 people.
Yeah. The 10 people, and then everyone can throw in the ideas, you know. Yeah, so we borrowed the idea from Talkie-okie.
Ah, nice.
And that is how the exhibition, we run the exhibition.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
So it is like art, and then a bunch of people just sharing ideas as the art is being nice.
And the theme was centered around, as she was saying, the environment and race. Where do they overlap, you know?
Okay.
So we have like all this pressure of, oh, you need to tone down, you know, the fumes that are coming from industries, and then when you look at the overall percentage of what we are contributing to,
like Africa,
Africa as a whole, you know,
1%.
We need to first reach the level of development of other
places, places.
Mm.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
And it's not fair for the Western world to be like, yo, hold on, like those fumes and everything are not okay, when we've already done a load of shit in the last 50 years, which has caused so much damage to the earth.
Yeah.
People in Uganda and African countries at large are generally quite resourceful out of need. But like, I feel like people here, they know how to manage their environments. And also there needs to be a certain amount of maybe development that needs to happen. So it's not fair to kind of put all those restrictions on, because
that's also, we may need some of the factories that they, you know what I mean, to get some of the things we need. So let's just get the factory here and get things made. And
exactly.
Then maybe when it gets too much, we'll be like, yo, okay, we don't need too many of those things now.
Yeah.
But I understand what you mean, like where it's like those rules.
Like a disparity.
Yeah.
So, that was very much what that exhibition was about. So Talkie-okie was the last night. We didn't call it Talkie-okie. We called it a conversation because Talkie-okie was the thing that was run by British Council and KQ Hub in collaboration.
Oh, okay.
So we did conversations on our last night, but very much inspired by Talkie-okie.
Yeah.
So the Friday night was Isaac has a music video that he released. It was his first video with a local producer.
TK Thunder Vibes,
And
shout outs,
we're dropping all the names.
I'll send the bill after this, just be like, now
that's what we're about. We're about bigging up,
and
start sending some royalties.
And I think we're about bigging up other people, like, we don't want there to be, of course, there's naturally some competition ideas bounce off of each other, and you're like, okay, I see they're doing something we did, but it's okay. And we probably do the same, but I think it's more about working together. So we've tried to find ways to always work with, we've worked with Ndugu, we've worked with Africa. So we're always trying to like hold hands and come together rather than being against one another. So the event ran, we had Isaac's video was released and we had an arts exhibition. All of the pieces were in response to the environment. We had some core questions that people responded to.
Okay.
But most of those artists were from Kampala, and that's kind of the thing I was saying to you earlier. It was really hard for us to engage with Entebbe artists, which was something we were working on. So there was that on the first night. Second day, we did a paint and sip, which was great fun, painting on bark cloth. Yeah, and then on the final day, we did a kids club in the morning, and we had the conversation in the evening.
Yeah,
and just really interesting people. We had a guy from UEC who kind of works on conservation and stuff. We had some Nigerian guy who happened to be staying in the hotel at the time. Yeah. And he was, what was it? He was some big guy in like the UN and conservation and stuff. So it was great having him.
But he had like so much knowledge about like the environment and how we can conserve it.
Just he's a professor, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, and just like listening to some of the solutions that they have in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And some of the things that we didn't really think about here. Kind of like he mentioned something to do with cattle and cow dung. He's like, did you know that if you just cow dung is exposed, it's like very damaging to
toxic.
It's too toxic, as even worse than the fumes that So yeah, it was quite interesting.
And talking about like how the swamps could be better used in Uganda and stuff. Just really educational and informative, and a great opportunity to, we had lots of artists on the panel as well. So just to come together as one and talk.
It was very interesting, like seeing the response from like, you know, the local community and from like the artists themselves and like that response was very powerful.
One challenge that we found, because we wanted it to be really super accessible, so some of the events, of course, we had to make some income, like we invested quite a lot into that. We had to make some income, so we did a couple projects with income, but we also kept like the performance was free, exhibition was free. The Saturday we had paid activities, and then the Sunday with the conversation was again free. So we wanted to get people there. But the challenge was we held it in a hotel and the hotel was on like a top floor. And it's not like your average Ugandan's not going to be like swinging by.
To come through.
Yeah.
So it was beautiful, amazing view. And we loved it. We had like 80 people come.
Okay.
So it was good. Like for our first big event, it was all right. But there's a certain section of society that you're not going to get when you hold it in a place like that,
unless it's presented or you kind of can find a way to push them to come through.
But I also think it rotates around how, as you know, the way we were viewing art. You know, because if it was like maybe some other activity that was going on, maybe more people would come or something.
More music. There's more music.
Or let's say like preaching.
Religious based.
Something like that.
But yeah, that was like accessibility is something that we're trying to keep working on as well.
Because you're talking about yourself going to challenges, it's like, okay.
So many challenges.
Very curious about the challenges that you've been facing as you guys have been doing like community groups and going for the festivals. I was just very curious about what your challenges are and the things that you guys have been facing.
I think I would speak for the festivals. Mostly it's how the organizers would approach us, the service providers. And because most of the festivals we've been to, they haven't been paid. So you're like, okay.
And we're about valuing artists. So we're like
contradicting values, you know. So
and then sometimes we've been paid, but they'll be like, we can give you 250K. That all has to go to our artists. Yeah. So Tambula makes nothing.
It's nothing. So
and so how do we like that's been a challenge for us to be like, how sustainable is this? Like, what impact is this really having?
Yeah.
Great, we're able to give some artists some work for the weekend, but it's not like life-changing, is it? Getting a 50K in your pocket. It's not like... it's good for them. It's exposing them. It's getting them to meet people. It's getting them to collaborate.
It's like rubbing off on Tumblr ads, because this is someone that is giving you 250,000 and they want you to do a music performance, illustrate do a painting, demonstrate like maybe something to do with the recycling.
So
you have to like,
and you're like, our materials, you know, we need to buy materials.
So at the end of the day, we are not even able to pay the artists what we feel like we is their worth, you know, and something that they would also feel like I am being appreciated for, you know, what What time?
Overvalued for my time. And
yeah.
And
we put that at the forefront. Like now I'd say about, we have to come and together and actually check our accounts properly. But I think we're aiming for about 40, 50% of our income to go back out to artists.
Nice.
Yeah.
And we're working on commission right now to ensure that Tumblr doesn't go under. Because like our priority is making sure Tumblr can run, Tumblr can function, then making sure that artists get their fair share as well. So that's kind of how we've been functioning at the moment. Yeah, yeah. But income generating is hard. And the reason we're trying to focus as a social enterprise, we don't want to turn to funding.
Okay.
We don't want to have like an unsustainable way of getting money. And we don't want to perpetuate the kind of like needy African project thing. It's so fucking easy to go. Sorry, I don't know if I can swear. It's so easy for me to go set up a GoFundMe and go call out to all my friends and say, can you get, because remember we got like during COVID, we did a call out to, because there's lots of people in our community that didn't have food.
Yeah.
And so we just a basic thing, like did a call out to go and get some posho and beans and stuff like that. We raised hundreds of pounds.
Yeah.
And then you think how much you struggle to get that as an organization through your activities.
Yeah.
But we don't want to perpetuate that.
Which is great, because then it means also in case you got funding, then it's an actual business we're funding.
Yes.
It's not like, hey, we just have this list of activities.
Yeah.
Give us money to just roll these activities.
Yeah,
but they're not making money. Well, it's like, oh, now you just, if we're making £100 from it and you put 1,000, that means you're now making 100,000.
Yeah.
Great. And, and everything's
great. There's like a lot that I feel like we would miss out if it was about like just, oh, let's get some funding. And
also, and the lessons, I guess, you're right. Like, as people, like,
figuring
out ways of like, okay.
And I think we've both been quite engaged with that. Like, we both met through working through an NGO.
Okay.
And I was very much rejecting this idea over time of like voluntourism and like the image the West has of Africa.
Yeah.
And like, it was something that we both became quite passionate about, like discussing. And there was like the whole No White Saviors movement and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, like we read this book. What was the book called, man? That book was The West Destroyed Africa. No, the aid to Africa.
Yeah, aid.
What was it called? She was great. That she works with the World Bank, Zambian author.
Yeah.
Can't remember the name.
It's
a very famous book.
It's called Dead Aid.
Dead Aid. That's the one.
I think I've had the book.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting book.
And we kind of read that and we were like, yeah. We both read it and sort of reflected. We're like, yeah, we know this. It's worth the hassle of working harder. Because the problem is when you accept this funding from the West, there's a lot of ties that can come with it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's very much like they're more in control of how you should spend your money. And like, especially if you get restricted funding, they want to know exactly where it's gone.
Yeah.
And they want you to, in return, to maybe get some poverty porn photos to give back. And and it's just bullshit. Like, we don't want to.
True. Which is great.
Yeah.
We don't want to be doing that kind of thing, but it just means you have to work a bit harder at figuring out, not taking the easy route.
Basically, it's just building a business.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the fact that even without Laura being in the country, this is still running, and you know, we're still able to make this move forward.
Great, yeah.
But like when most
challenges there.
Yeah, there are challenges that would come. Mostly, I would say, I don't know if I can say this, but there's this idea of like white people
can run the organization.
Can run the organization better.
You
know?
The biases, cognitive bias.
Yeah. But it is all about us like carrying on what we're doing.
Yeah.
And then eventually they would realize, because when we started running the kids session at a place called Amuti in Entebbe, most of the parents, mostly expat parents, they couldn't like bring their children for the sessions and on all this.
Once I'd left.
Once she had moved out of the country. Yeah. But it's now changing. We're having like parents, you know, realizing
oh, they're actually capable of doing the job.
Yeah.
And I think you're developing even better connections with parents now because of that.
Yeah.
And it's slow and it's slower progress.
Yeah.
But it will be more sustainable in the long run because it means it doesn't depend on me being around to have money coming in.
Yeah.
Like it
will and, come. And this is it. It's not necessarily true for every like organization or projects that are being funded, but most of the organizations that I know, once the person that was leading the GoFund or like, you know, leaves the organization, it's kind of
it
like
goes to shit.
It's gone.
But because normally that person also leaves the organization and just like, it's kind of like a classic neo-colonial move in that way of like, I've done my bit, bye, and then completely hands it over and there's no sort of like handover or interlude or, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, to like manage like the systems or the processes.
Yeah, and then it becomes all their fault that they couldn't run it properly, but did you do a good job in handing over that organization as well, you know? So we're trying to find, actually what we're doing at Tumblr now is we're writing our policies. And we're trying to write it together and really see like a joint perspective on things, like see how can my influence and the way that I see things as a foreigner be a positive for Tumblr